I'd cut a lot of deals, but none spiffier than this. I spared Kronika, and she gave up the hourglass. The power to shape time and history to my liking? Oh, fuck yeah. I set it up so that everything came up aces. Every desire, every wish, every whim I ever had, done and done. But I realized pretty quick I'd suck the fun out of things. Without a fight, winning was worthless. Nah, the fun wasn't in the having. It was in the getting. So, I changed things up one more time. Now, what I want is always just out of reach. I gotta earn it. I score lots of wins, but not always. And when I do win, it's something to savor.
Welcome to Filmoscopy, everybody. Quaint little podcast where three friends over a long distance talk about movies they enjoy, movies they love, movies they hate, video games, and all the above. Today, I am today's host, Lance. And my co-host is Owen, all the way over in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And from the land of the Simpsons, Cody.
Hello.
Hello. Before we jump into this movie we're going to cover, Cody, I have to ask, what did you think of The Nun 2?
I think we talked about this on the last episode.
I don't remember at all. It's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I briefly touched on both The Nun 2 and The Exorcist Believer, just to reiterate, I really liked it. I think it's a lot better overall than the first one, but the setting isn't as creepy as the Abbey from the first one, but it's definitely worth watching. Did you finally watch it yourself?
Yeah, I finally watched it myself. I thought it was good up until the ending.
When it becomes crazy.
I have such a hard time with these. Well, it becomes like an action movie at that point. It's no longer scary.
Yeah, that's the problem the first one had, too. Where, you know, they're like...
And really, the second Conjuring. I watched the third Conjuring. Me and Savannah watched it in theaters. I don't like the third Conjuring at all. It's boring.
I haven't watched the third one since we did it for this show, but yeah, I think part of the problem is just that they don't really know, like, Valak is such like a creepy antagonist, right? But they don't really know what to do with him to end the movie. So it's just like, let's just go like bonkers, balls to the wall with it, you know? So
yeah, and it's hard, like, you know, the Nun movies and the Annabelle movies. So me and Savannah and Riley watched we've watched all three Conjurings. Me and her have watched the two Nun movies, and then we've watched the first Annabelle movie. We got 2 and 3 left.
Ooh, the first one's the worst one.
The what?
The first Annabelle movie, I think, is the worst Conjuring movie, period. Like, that movie's horrible.
Okay. So it gets better. Cool. Yeah. I actually had a few moments where I jumped. Like, the jump scares get me, which is fun. It's just hard because the Annabelle and the Nun movies are, like, completely fiction. Like, there's no, like, grounded, like, moment or, like, nugget of a story. Like, the first two Conjuring movies, and the third one, too, are based loosely off of the events that happened.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a real thing. You can go back and, like, it kind of enthralls me into the story because I can go back and read up, like, okay, what do they say? What do the skeptics say? And all this other stuff. Whereas the Nun and the Annabelle movies are complete fiction.
Yeah, I will say that...
There is a doll, but...
I will say that outside of the first two Conjuring movies, my favorite film from that like entire series is the second Annabelle movie. So I'm curious to see what you think of it when you finally watch it. But that's definitely top three for me.
Yeah, we're going to probably watch it. I'd say probably Thursday. Of this recording date, so that'd be like November, 9th or something like that. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Today's movie is Mortal Kombat Legends Snowblind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what is your first experience with Mortal Kombat? if I haven't asked that like seven times before now at this point.
This is untrodden ground.
Now, we've covered, go back in the archives, everybody, we've covered Mortal Kombat, the 2021 movie, Mortal Kombat, the 1995 movie, Mortal Kombat Legends, Scorpion's Revenge, Mortal Kombat Legends, Battle of the Realms, and now Mortal Kombat Legends, Snowblind. And three episodes from now, which roughly month and a half, 2 months, we'll be covering Cage Match, which is the newest one was released. And then I'm going to eventually throw in Mortal Kombat Annihilation because I hate my friends. Let's see here. So, guys, we have on the last two, since this is kind of loosely connected, on Scorpion's Revenge and Battle of the Realms, both of you said you like them. Obviously, Scorpion's Revenge more so than Battle of the Realms. That's, like I said, it's a clusterfuck, but it's a happy clusterfuck for me. I enjoy watching it. And you both recommended the movie, so if I'm not mistaken, right, Owen and Cody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I was like, I think so. All right, so before we get into this, knowing that this movie was, because I told you guys up front that this movie was an original story, what were y'all's expectations going into this movie? Where if this is not a retelling of the lore of Mortal Kombat's 1 through 7 and then Mortal Kombat's 9 through 11 or whatever.
I can go ahead and start. So,
oh, yeah, I guess I should have specified. Go ahead, go on.
So you're asking like what our initial thoughts were going into this, like, knowing that it was
like, did you have any expectations like, okay, this is just going to retell some more fucking lore, this is going to be original story, you know?
I was actually...
What did you have expectations into it?
I was actually a little bit hyped for it because, like, I like the idea of, like, these Mortal Kombat little side story movies and stuff, kind of doing stuff from the lore that's kind of not the main Mortal Kombat tournament or anything like that. Just side stories, I think, is really cool. You know, this, like, Kenshi's backstory isn't something we've ever, I don't recall ever seeing that outside of maybe like a comic book or something. So
they actually took, I mean, it's kind of the same story in Mortal Kombat 9 and X for Kenshi.
Yeah, he has that
original story,
that
from
backstory.
Mortal Kombat Deception.
Yeah, that backstory.
Yeah, well, the other lines, they do, I mean, it's different time frame, but yeah, they actually lift Kenshi's backstory from Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, like the original timeline. So which is cool. Like, and like I said, you have the whole, like, but other than that, other than like Shang Tsung getting the souls from Kenshi's ancestors, and Kenshi getting blinded, like everything else about this movie is like pretty like untrodden, like a pathway. Like this has never been done from a story perspective before. You've never seen the old grumpy Sub-Zero and like King Kano, which we'll get into and stuff like that. So yeah, I was kind of hoping you guys would really be like into it. Like from that perspective, I guess we'll go to Cody. Cody, I remember you saying that, you know, you were fine with the first two movies, but you were actually kind of excited about this one. Was that how you kind of felt going into it, watching it today?
Yeah, because, like, I never watched the trailer or anything for it, but obviously based on, like, the cover art or whatever, you can see it's, like, kind of a new thing, an older Sub-Zero kind of training a Kenshi. And I will say I have mixed feelings on it, though, coming out of it, because the animation style, I feel like, wasn't as good as it was in the other two. And even though the story is like mostly original, it very much felt like, what if we just did Mad Max in Mortal Kombat? Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, it was a little disappointing. I think I was just disappointed because I wasn't really expecting the whole like desert wasteland type setup and all that. But other aspects of it were pretty interesting, like, you know, King Kano and all that. So, and obviously seeing some characters in it that, you know, you don't really get to see a lot in the games, like Tremor and
Cobra, Kira. There's a quick cameo of Drummond and a quick cameo of Dairu.
Was No Face the one carrying the flamethrower?
Yeah, he's from Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
Right. So, I mean...
Yeah, he's the only, like... This is some deep dive characters they put in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of...
Eric is also in it.
Cobra, yeah, I mean, the best character.
But, yeah, at least he's not just like a Ken ripoff, you know, in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you kind of got mixed feelings. Let me ask you this. I did give you guys I said there was no Scorpion in this. Where did you roll your eyes when Scorpion showed up?
It does kind of feel like it's like, okay, we have to put him in here kind of thing.
Well,
you know, 100%. But I fucking loved it.
You know, you gaslit us with that. But whenever, like, Kenshi's like, oh, what is that? I feel it pulsating inside of me. and I was like, that kind of looks
turns out
like
his lower intestine.
I was like, that kind of looks like
a shit.
I was like, that kind of looks like a Scorpion's blade, right? So I was like, that's weird. Why would Sub-Zero have that? And then obviously, you know, later on he plants it like a seed in the ground, and it grows a scorpion.
Well, I listened to the commentary of this movie. Usually, what I end up doing is, I watch the movie, then I'll rewatch it with the commentary going to see if I pick up any nuggets of information, and then I may rewatch it again just to make sure I got the plot down. So, and it's easy to do because it's 1 hour and 20 minutes. It's not like I'm rewatching Apocalypse Now, the deluxe edition. Yeah, they said that I think the art style may be affected by the COVID, because obviously this came out in like 2021. Mm-hmm. And we were still knee deep into the COVID era, and they were also trying to go for like more of a stripped down look. Like, this is a stripped down story, though. There is no Raiden. You do see a statue of Liu Kang, like his time has come and gone. There's no reference to the Outworld. There's no reference to Shao Kahn. The only thing we got from that's maybe Outworld is like Shang Tsung, and then later on Kronika's, you know, time hourglass. And, you know, like I said, they obviously took straight from Mortal Kombat 11, the Kronika thing. Like I said, this ending, I have the Google Drive account for the podcast. I do have downloaded the audio from the Kano ending, which is like the setup for this movie. And I thought that was pretty cool that they decided, like, let's go ahead and just like I guess a lot of people like the timeline shit, because you can tell infinite amount of stories, quote unquote. So, you know, I think from a Mortal Kombat fan, we're kind of all burnt out on the timeline shit. Like, it's like, come on, guys. You know, I kind of liked it better when it was like they've gotten too big with the story. Like, you don't know where else to go with it. Because, I mean, I thought, like John Tobias said in an interview on a podcast, because he, you know, obviously he left around, like, right when Special Forces was starting production. He was, like, in the middle of production when he left. But he created the story from Mortal Kombat all the way up until that point. And then John Vogel, who was also part of the original team, took over the story point up until, like, Armageddon. And they asked him in the interview, he's like, do you have any, like, ideas for the one being? And he goes, no, I don't know what that is. And they explained, it's like, well, it was supposed to be, like, the next big boss. And he goes, well, it sounds like they kind of got trapped in the next boss has to be bigger and badder. You know, from Shang Tsung and Quan Chi to, like, Onaga to Blaze, and then obviously Dark Khan. And they kept getting bigger that way. Now you have something that's bigger than all of that, bigger than the one being. It's the Titans, which don't really make sense in the Mortal Kombat mythology at that point. But you have multiple timelines instead of one timeline. It's really all just fucking confusing, so... You know, that's probably another thing. Like, that's probably why I wasn't a huge fan of the Mortal Kombat 1 story, because I thought they were like, okay, we're resetting it, and this is the story going forward. And now it's like, well, this is one of many timelines, many possibilities. Like, what the fuck? Just like one story, and I hate it when they do this time with shit. But anywho. Alright, so we'll go ahead and get into this. Owen, do you have anything else to say? I don't know if you got caught off there.
No, it's, well, I did want to say, like, with Cody, just kind of wanted to know what you meant about the art style. I did notice some of the animation was kind of like a little goofy looking. Like some of the movement wasn't as smooth as it had been in the other two movies.
Well, I think they talked about that, and they actually, you know, they liked the slowing down of the moves. Because if you notice, there was no X-ray moves.
Yeah.
Remember the last two movies, that they went X-ray moves galore. I remember you making a comment. Definitely the first one, maybe even the second movie, I don't win that. Like, man, they really go with this X-ray move, like, animation.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm glad
they completely took it out of this one.
Yeah, I'm glad they took that out, because I thought it was getting a little... it gets a little heavy-handed, even in... I mean, in the games, it's a fun gimmick, but, I mean, if you're doing, like, a story, I don't know, it seems a little weird to have somebody's, like, ribs break and then just be like, ow! Damn!
Yeah.
But no, I just meant there's like some goofy like animation. You could tell like it gets rough in some parts. Like I don't know. It's mostly like some background characters, or when it's in like a crowd, you can see like somebody. I don't know. They just move kind of funny. But it's not.
No, often. I think you're like you're probably spot on. I do think like the whole COVID thing probably had an effect. Maybe they were doing shit separately and sent it in over the computer.
Yeah.
Instead of being in like one location and working on it together as a group, you know, I think that might have something to do with it. I don't have any like detail. I just know, like I said, this movie came out in 2021, and I'm pretty sure they started production on it in 2019 after the first two. Because when they got the green light for Scorpion's Revenge, they got the green light for two movies. That's why they had all that shit crammed into the second one. Mm-hmm. And then, like, this one was like, oh. Okay, we got no other lore we have to hold on to. Of course, I mean, the guys who make this movie, you can tell they're big Mortal Kombat fans, so they try to stay honest with the lore while trying to tell a different story versus what you've already heard, you know. Mm-hmm. They said in the commentary that, you know, I mean, who's to say the first two movies haven't happened before this movie? You know, because it's a whole this whole timeline thing. Maybe they happened a little differently. Maybe they happened exactly the same.
Well,
like, they were just kind of throwing around the hints
at the end with the in the hourglass. Sub-Zero sees a shot from Battle of the Realms, though, and he's like,
"No, all those shots were Mortal Kombat 11 shots."
Okay.
Yeah, they literally just took all the Mortal Kombat 11 and redrew it in the art style of this movie, and they put it in there. There was no images from Battle of the Realms. So they said that it's like it's almost like the way that movie played out, like Kano got Kronika's hourglass and then reround time, and it played out similarly to those first two movies, and then it ended up to where we're at in this movie with King Kano. So, and, you know, I think it kind of goes hand in hand when you were talking to Cody, about you were disappointed this movie turned into, like, Mad Max. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense because Kano is Australian and Mad Max is Australian.
And if there's one thing Australians love, it's Mad Max.
Yeah. Hey, dude, we know that for sure because that's, like, our third most listened to episode, and it's in Australia.
Yeah. Well, I think...
like.
I think it's also Owen's Australian accent.
I say, come on, cunts.
Oh, well, it's probably... come on, you fuckers.
All right, mate. Come on, you cunts.
Oh, bollocks.
Bollocks. I don't think... they don't say bollocks. They just say cunt all the time. They're like, you fucking cunt. Well, you're all right, yes. I can... all right, let's go, mate. Come on, we fucking fight right out here, mate. Yeah, I don't know. They just...
they're violent people. Cody's easily amused. He goes, yeah, dance for me, monkey, you know?
Yes, yes.
He's like, hey, Owen is the little monkey with the thimble on the side of the street while Cody's playing accordion or some shit like that. He's like, dance for me. Make me money. All right, so let's get into this real quick. Because I don't even know all the details, though, to be honest with you. I don't think I ever did a deep dive on this movie. All right, Snowblind was released October 9th, 2022 by Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Directed and written by the same people who made the first two, Scorpion's Revenge and Battle of the Realms, which would be directed by Rick Moranis and screenplay by Jeremy Adams. Jeremy's written all the movies. So, I don't have anything on the sales. on this movie, but it's no big deal. Shang Tsung has the same voice actor as the first three movies, Art Butler. Yuri Lowenthal, who is known as Spider-Man in the new Sony PlayStation games and is Smoke in Mortal Kombat 1, plays Cobra. Let's see here. Patrick Scheitz is back as my main man, Hanzo Asashi / Scorpion.
Who played...
And Ron... Go ahead.
Who played Sub-Zero?
Ron Yuan, who was Scorpion's voice in Mortal Kombat 11. Who did you think it was? Somebody else?
Was it Sub-Zero? There was someone in there that sounded like the guy that played Sandman in Spider-Man 3.
No, that ain't Hayden. Not Hayden Christian. Hayden Church or something.
Yeah. Maybe I'm conflating it, because I also watched a few episodes of The Boys Diabolical, so maybe he was in one of those episodes.
He might have been. David Wenham, who plays Faramir in the Lord of the Rings films, is Kano in this movie.
I don't know who Faramir is.
No, I don't know either. I'm just giving you a heads up.
Faramir.
In the what movies?
In the Lord of the Rings movies.
Who the fuck is Faramir?
Dude, I have no idea. I'm clicking on this shit. I have no idea. I have no... Like, no desire to watch
Lord of the Rings movies. The funniest thing about the Lord of the Rings movies, I think I've watched all of them, but I could not tell you a single fucking thing that happens in any of them.
It's Faramir. Faramir.
Yes.
Faramir.
He is introduced as the younger brother of Boromir, of the Fellowship of the Ring, and second son of Denethor, the steward of Gondor.
And grandson of Doramir. What the fuck, dude? He doesn't even have a picture.
Apparently he shows up in the Two Towers. And then he's also in the Return of the King.
He's also a playable character in the video game The Return of the King. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've only ever watched like the first Lord of the Rings movie and like the first Hobbit movie, and that's it.
Gotcha. It's no big deal. I was just kind of curious. All right. So I guess without further ado, it's clear this movie borrows elements from the plot of Mortal Kombat: Deadly Alliance, Deception, and Mortal Kombat 11, and is a direct sequel to Battle of the Realms. So it says, decades after Shao Kahn's defeat in Mortal Kombat, Earthrealm has been attacked by undead revenants, which the revenants in this movie are portrayed like zombies, like Walking Dead zombies, like they're eating shit. Mm-hmm. And then you see flashbacks, and Sub-Zero talks about it. Sub-Zero keeps having this reoccurring dream that his brother is chasing after him. He says, his brother, no. And then he finds
his brother is Rick Grimes. And he says, Carl.
It's like, let me tell you something, Negan. But he keeps having this dream, like he's running in like darkness, and it's like a blizzard and shit like that, and he trips, and he's like, brother, no, and he wakes up. And he keeps having this recurring dream. You find out later on that it's actually not his brother, it's him, and it's his fear of himself, like losing control and becoming evil, because he had a moment when he was trying to save a city, I guess. I wouldn't necessarily say save a city. They were going in just to kill the revenants in the flashback, and everybody was dying around him, so in fear, he unleashed all of his power, and it killed Innocence, killed the revenants, and killed his own clan. He was like, oh no, what have I done?
The power of Grayskull will do that to you sometimes.
That's the only thing about this movie that I think is kind of goofy. I don't know. I just think that suddenly Sub-Zero has this ability that he's like, I can't control it.
Later on when he sees the Black Dragon show up at that village and he's not like doing anything, I just thought, man, Sub-Zero, why doesn't Sub-Zero use his ice powers? Is he stupid or something?
Yeah.
No, it just turns out he's a big old pussy.
Just waiting to get fucked.
So real quick, like Cody said, this movie has like a Mad Max element, that there's these outskirts. I don't know if they even call it the Outland for some reason.
They call it the Wasteland.
But, oh, the Wasteland, okay. So it's straight up like ripped off from Mad Max. And these guys who were talking in the commentary have said that. Like, you know, we love 80s movies. We want to put all the elements. That's why there's quite a few one-liners in here. Like when Kenshi gets his finger shot off and he's tied up, and then Scorpion cuts him loose, and then him and Sub-Zero finally meet up halfway through the battle, and Sub-Zero goes, "Took you long enough." He goes, "Sorry, I was tied up." It's like that 80s one-line shit.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily nails all the time in this movie like they think it does, but I give them an A for effort. So real quick, the Black Dragon clan, so the characters you see plus a few cameos are Kira, Cobra, Ferator, Draman, Cabal, Aaron Black, No Face, Dairu, Tremor, and Jarek. And with an aged Shang Tsung, and Kano is the leader of them. So really, like, it's not a deep story. Cabal, Kira, and Cobra have broken off from Kano while they, I guess, looking for some fun. They run across an old Sub-Zero, Kuai Liang, who's taking food to a village he takes care of. Or maybe he sells for money. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure if he's doing all the good in his heart. Because it doesn't seem like Sub-Zero really has a goodness of heart. He's kind of afraid of everything, and he's kind of self-centered, almost.
He's like, who's that? Who's that?
And then, oh, Lord.
They're like, where'd you get all these? Where'd you get all these fruits and vegetables, old man? Huh?
Yeah, like, it's kind of funny seeing, like, I'm like, Cabal calling him an old man, because they're, you know, in original timeline and all timelines, Sub-Zero and Cabal, like, close to the same age.
Well, he also looks like, Cabal also looks like he has gray dreadlocks himself, so.
Yeah, and it looks like he's just wearing the mask for fun. He's not doing it to breathe.
Yeah.
Because he gets his mask shattered later on, and he doesn't have.
Oh, he's got to take it off to, like, get those vegetables installed.
He's just scared. Yeah,
that is true.
He doesn't want anybody to see his ugly ass face.
It's like, no, please.
He said, as a child, I was always called a butt face, and I couldn't stand it.
It's like they used to say, I could wipe my nose and my ass at the same time. There is an episode of Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, which is a kid's cartoon that ran like 12 episodes. And there's a Cabal episode, and his face is all scarred up, but he can take his mask off, no problem. But he saves Sonya from Kano, and he's like, no, don't come near me. And they got some, like, really fucking Phantom of the Opera stupid-ass music playing. Like, there's some kind of romance between them. And, so hold on. My ears are itching, sorry. And it's really fucking funny. Like, say, no, please, don't come near me. I'm hideous.
Don't come.
So, don't come. He's like, but yeah, so Cabal, Cobra, and Kira, try to say that 5 times fast and don't look at the initials, end up in the village. Are you guys laughing now?
I just think about it for a second. I was like, oh, okay.
They find the village that Sub-Zero was going to, and they're like, hey, this would be our little piece of the pie, so we don't have to share with Kano. And then Kenshi's there, who's a young, brashened fighter who wants to be the best in the world. So he's kind of like Ryu, but he doesn't have that best. Done.
Like no one ever was.
Never was. Dun, dun. To fuck them is my true quest.
And we got to talk about real quick, they did change the looks of Kira and Cobra. Cobra is literally a ripoff of Ken from Street Fighter. So he has like long blonde hair, really nice hair. And Kira looks like a Mad Max character now, like half her back and size of her head are shaved, kind of like a mohawk. her boobs are not hanging out quite as much as you would like from her deception outfit, you know?
Oh, that was supposed to be Kira? Like,
yeah, it was Kira. Okay. She's the red-headed ball of Bad Sonya, pretty much.
Yeah, the whole time I was thinking, who the hell is this? Who is this? Like, I don't recognize this person at all. I didn't even know that was Cobra until someone finally said his name.
Yeah, well, don't they say his name like as soon as he's on screen? They're like, Cobra.
I don't know.
Yeah, Cody misses it the first time and goes, who is this guy? He's mesmerizing.
I heard Cobra, my ears perked up. I was like, dude, it's him.
And like, I'm over here watching, like, this guy's literally me, man. Just look at him.
Dude, he's literally me. I have long, curly, blonde locks.
And Cody just sitting there watching this whole time. Who is this fascinating man in my screen?
Kano shows up. I'm like, who's that?
You see Scorpion. Who the fuck is this?
You see the Sub-Zero Dream. It's like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know who this character is.
It's like, must be new characters made for this movie. I see.
Turns out I was having a stroke the whole time.
This isn't an animated Jurassic Park movie. Frank and Baines. Sorry. All right, so Cabal, Kira, and Cobra go to this town. Kenshi kicks her ass. They're like, we'll be back. And then it cuts to, what do they call it, Kano Town? K-Town? Something like that? I don't know. They call it the Kano Complex, like Kano Town or some shit.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And, damn it, I wish I fucking knew. I thought it was funny as hell. I don't know if it's Kano Town or Kano City. But anyway, there's Kano a little bird. Cage. It's kind of like, It reminds me of the six-sided steel cage from TNA Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And these two women with shaved heads are fighting. One of them gets knocked her ass down. Kano does the whole thumbs down from Gladiator. And she says, no, she's hurt. And then Kano blows out her brains. The chick stands up. She goes, thank you, King Kano. And he blows out her brains. And then Cobra and them show up. Tell them, hey, we got our ass kicked. Can you come send somebody to help us take over this town? Because they didn't want to share it with him, obviously. But Kano, as you find out later on, knows all this is going on anyway. So he sends Tremor. And Tremor is not completely accurate to his video game comparison. And you also see there's old Shang Tsung serving Kano. And I remember watching thinking, what the fuck? Why is Shang Tsung serving Kano? And so they go to the town. Tremor kicks Kenshi's ass, beats up Sub-Zero because Sub-Zero doesn't want to stand up for anything. And then as Shang Tsung hears the name Kenshi Takahashi, because Kenshi can't help but say his first and last name to everybody he meets because he wants to kick their ass. Hey, shout out to Alex of I'll Take Three. He sent me a text message in the group text between him and Jacob and me. And he goes, let me read the message directly to you, because I think the shit's fucking hilarious. And let me get y'all's opinion on this, too. he goes, do you think it would be cool if your dick could smell things?
Oh, that'd be awful. Why would you want that?
And Savannah goes, Savannah goes, I think that would be, you know, the bad smells you'd have. I'm like, yeah, that's true. And then I go, Savannah says, no, laugh my ass off. He goes, haha, it could be like a little bloodhound sniffing around.
Oh,
and then Jacob replies back, full size bloodhound. And then I reply back, at least average size bloodhound.
A decently sized bloodhound.
I swear, my favorite thing in the world is when you see, like, it's a stupid meme, but you'll see women or some people, like, posting a video, and they're talking about something being really cute and small, And they'll cut to a guy. He'll be like, I don't know, man. This seems like really average size, okay? I got to go. And I did it at work all the fucking time. Like, they'll be saying something like, oh, it's so small. I'm like, I don't know, man. It seems kind of average to me.
I miss whenever somebody would be like, yeah, it's about like a foot. And then we would be like, hold on, let me measure it. And we'd pretend to pull out our cocks.
Yeah, we did do that. I still do that, too, at the house.
Yeah, I can't do
Savannah that. Savannah goes, it says it's like 8 inches long. I'm like, let me measure, okay?
Hold on, let me see.
Oh, God. Today, somebody was over the walkie, and she called the office person. She goes, I've never seen anything that big before. And there was a pause, and then I grabbed the walkie and went, ha.
Got him.
Oh, God. It was. They were talking about a receipt that she had printed out. I've never seen one that long before.
I'll measure it for you. Hold on.
All right, look, it's 7:32, really 6:32 for everybody. So,
yeah.
Anywho. So, okay, real quick, what'd you guys think about Tremor? Because Tremor's really a rock guy, not lava.
Oh, yeah, he is like a lava dude in this one. I can't even remember what he looked like, honestly. I think I need to look at a screenshot.
He's...
Yeah, Cody, what do you think?
I guess in a film where they've already changed like the aesthetic of like everybody else, I don't mind it that much. It'd be weird if like everyone else was pretty accurate to their traditional looks, and then he's like all lava man sort of set up. But with the way that they did everything else, I'm fine with it.
It looks.
No, do you think that?
Yeah, he looks all right to me. I mean, like Cody said, they changed everybody a little bit, so it's whatever.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. What if they had everybody kind of changed a little bit, but they literally changed the identity of one of the characters? Would that piss you off, too, or is that just being irrational?
yeah, it might.
It might. It just depends. All right. So, Tremor kicks everybody's ass. Shang Tsung, they leave the town. I guess they're going to come back with Kano, so Kano can swear everybody into the Black Dragon. And Shang Tsung helps up Kenshi and says his name is Song, which this is completely, like, directly lifted from Deadly Alliance's bio, that Kenshi was a bombastic warrior wanting to prove himself, and Shang Tsung tricked him into opening a well of souls where his ancestors resided, and he stole all the souls.
Yeah, and Kenshi goes, Shang Tsung, eyes.
Yeah, no, and he's like, his eyes fucking, it's not like he just goes blind. His eyeballs are fucking gone.
Yeah,
like,
when he's running around with no eyes, I'm just like thinking, like, come on, let's get a bandana on because this shit's disturbing.
He's like, oh, it's so cold up there now.
He's like, feels like something's touching my brain. It's me. I'm picking my nose. You see him pick his nose, and you see his finger come up behind where his eye would be. But yeah, Shang Tsung, we obviously know it's Shang Tsung. So he steals the souls and gets his youth and strength back, and he goes back to Kano. Well, this is where other than Kano being the king, this is where you find out like things are not as they seem, because Kano goes, oh, you found the Well of Souls, huh? And Shang Tsung's like, what? How'd you know? He goes, why do you think I sent you to do that? Let's make this battle something like different this time. He says, every time you get a little bit better. And Shang Tsung just thinks he's doing nonsense. And then he beats up Kano, goes to steal a soul. And Kano goes, I don't have a soul. I'm way past having a soul. And then he rips Shang Tsung's fucking arm off and then bashes his brains out. He goes, better luck next time. At this point, they haven't introduced the hourglass. So you're kind of like, what the fuck? This is... I mean, if you played Mortal Kombat 11, you kind of figure it out. But if you're a newbie coming in, you're kind of like, I don't know what's going on here. So there's a Karate Kid montage of Sub-Zero training Kenshi. Because Kenshi says he can see with his sword. Sub-Zero wants to see if he's bullshitting. He finds out he can. So Sub-Zero wants to train him to hone his powers. And this feels like this only takes a couple of days. And all of a sudden, like, Kenshi is like straight up Lin Kuei now, I guess. You know, it's like it's one of the few things like in Empire Strikes Back, you know, Luke does that training where it feels like for 2 days with Yoda, and he's like, you must complete your training. And he comes back like 6 months later in Return of the Jedi, and like Yoda's like, a Jedi you are, only if you kill Vader. And it's like, wait a minute, he did 2 days of training and he's a fucking Jedi? What the hell is this?
Yeah, he's a Jedi now. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's a Jedi something. He's a Jedi bitch in The Last Jedi, if you know what I'm saying. We go through this, and then you kind of get to the central conflict. Kenshi now feels like he has a purpose after losing his eyesight. His purpose before was he was just trying to fight everybody and prove that he was the best. Now he wants to help the innocent people because he's, you know, he has this ability. And Sub-Zero says, no, I trained you to survive. And like Sub-Zero turns his back on the village that he's been helping out, or at least trading with, when he sees that it's being attacked by Kano. So they get into a fight, and Kenshi ends up going into the town to try to save the city, and Sub-Zero goes back to his hut like a little bitch. Well, you have a cool little thing in the montage, like, you know, Kenshi kills Jarek and a couple other black dragon fighters, and then he gets captured.
While Eye of the Tiger plays. And it's ironic because...
You what now?
I said while Eye of the Tiger plays, and it's ironic because Kenshi doesn't have any.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any tigers or eyes.
Either.
Damn it! Fucking shit!
Eye of the Mole.
That's a plot hole. it'd be even funnier if they were playing Ray Charles in the back, because Ray Charles is blonde. Well, Sub-Zero goes back. He ends up, because before you see that he has all this livestock he kind of takes care of, and he uses their resources like the chickens' eggs and all that stuff, and he uses one of the chickens to train Kenshi. I'm not making this up.
You just reminded me of something. When Kenshi is in the well, and he gets the sword, and it keeps saying, rise.
Yeah.
You get to get rise, chicken, rise.
Rise, chicken.
Rice, chicken, rice.
Oh,
shit. My forever quote that will be attached to that scene. Somebody even says that. This pops into my head. And they're all like, it's like, no, everybody hold hands. And then Carl won't hold their hands. He goes, I don't know what you've been hearing, but I ain't living in fairyland. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not living in fairyland. And they're like, come on, Carl. You have to hold hands to resurrect Shaggy. He goes, all right, all right. And he does it. And then Billy Witch Doctor goes, now kiss him deep with tongue. and Carl goes, do what? And he goes, just kid, dirty boy. Just kid. And he clicks the stick. He goes, rise, chicken. That's what he's just. I just think about this like, now kiss him deep with tongue. Just kid, dirty boy. Just kid. Aqua Teen Hunger Force is a very, like, incredible show, especially, like, the first, like, 8 seasons. And the episode's only 15 minutes long, so it's great. well, Sub-Zero lets all the livestock go, and he's, like, leaving this life behind. And then with arms wide open, he takes Scorpion's spear, and he wants to be released from his own prison. And he stabs it and lights everything on fire. And Scorpion shows up. So, like I said, this was Scorpion's here. This is the final stop of the Hanzo Hisashi appreciation tour, because this is it, people. He is not in Cage Match. I've looked up at the cast. I haven't watched it yet. I plan on watching that movie the first time for the podcast. So, Scorpion shows up, and this Hanzo Hisashi is now the leader of the Netherrealm, it looks like. So, I mean, I could see his story happening the way it did in the first two movies. Snow, Scorpion's Revenge, and Battle of the Realms. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, Shinnok's dead. And Quan Chi's dead. So, he's the one leading the Netherrealm, which is kind of cool. He looks different. He looks like a Grim Reaper, which is kind of cool. So, I really enjoy this look.
Kind of look like...
Patrick.
To me, he kind of had the same silhouette as Spawn. With, like, the torn cape.
He did.
Like, super long and all that.
Yes, he does. I also kind of had a thought of, I don't know, like some kind of darker Batman, like the Thomas Wayne Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, like his voice is like really controlled and like really dark and rad, especially in that animated movie they did, Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that. And I think Patrick Shites, I think that's how you say his name. Sites, probably. Patrick Sites. He has that same, it's a Scorpion voice, but it's like a more controlled. It's not like he's angry and rageful anymore. Like, even when he hits No Face with the spear, or not No Face, but Aaron Black with the spear, and he's like, get over here. It's like, man, God, Scorpion just sounds so fucking badass in this movie.
Yeah. I like his design in this, so at least more than what it was like in the other two with the weird beef jerky face.
Yeah, he had that weird eyebrows. It looked like...
He looked like a...
What is the rock guy in Fantastic Four again? The Thing?
Yeah, the Thing. Like a Maui statue or some shit. Like fucking Neanderthal brow.
I don't know why he's the only ninja that looked like that. I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude? He's like terrible. A caveman. He's like, oh, get here over.
I do really enjoy this design. Like, of the three, I think, I mean, I watch these movies back to back to back, and I think it's a great progression of Scorpion. Like, he's the only character that changes a bunch in these movies to me. Obviously, they don't have always the same characters and all that, but like this one right here, like, he is the leader of the Netherrealm where he didn't want to be before, and it seems like he's in control of his rage at this point until he wants to fight and he wants to let it go. But so there's a really cool fight. Like I say, that's where you see all the cameos of the characters. You don't see Dairu get killed, but you see him, Scorpion kills him off screen. Already said that Kenshi killed Jared. Sorry, go ahead.
Dairu is like another fucking character that I think like nobody could fucking ever remember. Like, it's so funny that they remembered to put him
in. That's why they turned him into Havoc in MK1.
Which, it doesn't make any sense. If he turns into Havoc in this timeline, then there's a Havoc and Dairu who are separate in all the other timelines. Well, so it's only this timeline where they fucked up. They only did that because they wanted to come up with a backstory for him.
Yeah, well, it's like Havoc didn't really have a backstory, and Dairu is a boring character, so you know, it was like, let's just do it that way.
I'm hoping when they release that the new Aftermath in like a year or two, that they'll like the Titan Havoc that shows up, like, you know, at the end of the story mode, he's the one that's gonna be the main villain.
Yeah.
That he's a Havoc from another timeline. I'm hoping they distinguish the difference between his Havoc and this Havoc. It's like, okay, yeah, this dude wasn't Dairu. He was this guy from like Chaos Realm.
Havoc's not really a person. Because it's more of a mantle.
No, it's not. Shut up, Cody.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man.
Don't even do this bullshit. I will fucking argue with some people right now. I'm still trying to get Dominic Chinchalo, whatever the dude's name is from Mortal Kombat, to confirm the costume that we see from Invasions mode that's supposed to be Hanzo Scorpion. We fight a Scorpion that wears that same costume in the story mode, and he's a Scorpion from another timeline. And he's undead, and I'm over here just trying to say, like, is this Hanzo from another timeline, like Invasions mode? Or is this Kwai Liang from the timeline? I just want to know if that's supposed to be Hanzo, because that's a nice little, like, Easter egg. Oh, yeah, you're fighting Hanzo. Why is he teaming up with Bi-Han? No one gives a shit. And then,
Well, regardless of who it is, they're teamed up because of the Titan Shang Tsung. Like, he's basically convinced them.
Yeah, I know that part. I'm just kind of thinking from the before you see them up on the tower standing next to each other, you fight them like on that cold mountaintop, which is kind of like the Nexus that has all the portals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Scorpion comes walking up and he's with Bi-Han Sub-Zero, and it's like, oh, okay, is this Hanzo Scorpion? Because this is the same costume that Hanzo wears in Invasions mode, you know? So I'm thinking it's supposed to be Hanzo from another timeline, because they did say in the dialogues, when Garrus is talking to Scorpion, he goes, you are the first ever Kwai Liang Scorpion. But then again, you see like two or three Kwai Liang Scorpions from another timeline on the Order of Good on the Pyramid Battle. Anyway, that's the whole thing. You have a big battle here. Scorpion and Sub-Zero kill everybody, and Kenshi kills a few. Kenshi kills Kira, and before he killed Jarek. Scorpion kills, I'm assuming, Dairu, because you don't see him again. He kills No Face. He kills Aaron Black, and he kills Ferrator, whereas Sub-Zero kills Drahman. I'm trying to think who else was there, because Cobra got killed earlier by Shang Tsung, so he's already out of the picture.
Going to go, it's a gold, it's a golden, yeah. Golden Cobra.
All right, so, yeah, that's all of them except for Cabal and Tremor. Tremor has a battle with Kenshi, and Kenshi ends up killing him. Like, he does... they kind of use his telekinesis almost like the Force from Star Wars. And he pulls a sword back after it's knocked out of his hands, and the sword goes through Tremor's head and splits it wide open. Scorpion and Sub-Zero run into Cabal, who's kind of like cutting them up with his hook swords. And then Scorpion puts Sub-Zero somewhere else to go fight Kano. He's like, finish him. And then, of course, we get the Toasty fatality when Scorpion... Like, it doesn't make sense to me when Scorpion... They call it the Jason Voorhees moment on the commentary when he gets shot by Aaron Black like 7 times and he just stands straight up. Like, I mean, he's the leader of Netherrealm. What are you going to do to him? And fucking Cabal's got him with the hook sword. So he's like, the blood's draining. Everybody's laughing. And I'm like, Scorpion's just going to like kick out of this. And he does. And Scorpion does a Toasty fatality and kills him.
Toasty.
And the, it's kind of funny. The last two moments, like the moment before Aaron Black dies, Scorpion sticks 2 swords into him and then slices him in half like a hot dog. Black, when he sticks this,
he DPs him.
Yeah.
He did.
You don't see, but he also puts his dick in his, in his ass.
Oh, so it's TP.
Yeah. I got myself with that one.
Well, no, if he hits him in the back of the head, that's called Donkey Punch, so it's DPing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get to... So Scorpion kills Cabal. And Cabal, you see his face. It's like... I couldn't really tell, but the way they were talking on the commentary, when his face is exposed as the fire's burning over him, he's supposed to have this look of fear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think he had this look of fear. He just kind of had this look of like... Argh. And then all of a sudden his eyeball pops. That's when he starts screaming like a little bitch. So Scorpion kills him. Sub-Zero and Kano have an insane fight. Kano explains that he's got Kronika's hourglass. He's like, yeah, so he's the one that crafted this timeline. And you see memories from before of, like, Sub-Zero and his brother, Bihan, even though they're wearing the same costume. Sub-Zero and Scorpion, the people, like, the little group of people in Mortal Kombat 11, like, Raiden and all them standing together. And then... Kano starts to reset time, and Sub-Zero starts disappearing, but with one arm, he shoots his Kamehameha Ice Blast at Sub-Zero, at Kano, and knocks off Kano's concentration, so Sub-Zero, I guess the Saiyans come back, and he's reformed, so they have this battle back and forth. Sub-Zero gets his arm ripped off, and he forms an ice arm. I'm not making this up. He rips off Kano's arm, and then it has this, like, he ends up destroying Kano, which is kind of entertaining. And instead of, like, resetting the hourglass, they destroy Kronika's, like, her skull with a helmet on that controls the time. Mm-hmm. Her and Scorpion, and the hourglass blows up, and then, you know, the end of the movie, Sub-Zero goes to hell because he can't control his powers with Scorpion, and Kenshi's left to kind of go save everybody in the world now by himself. I don't know what the fuck he's supposed to do.
Yeah, because if he drops a sword, he can't see. So
yeah, I know. It's like, he's fucked
someone,
at that point.
If someone just knocks it out of his hand and keeps it away from him, he's screwed.
He's like, I can't see without my glasses.
I can't see without my glasses.
Yeah, so... The ending is kind of weird. I don't think they knew what would happen if you blew up Kronika's hourglass, because they were just like, oh yeah, end of the story, cool. No, if you blow up the hourglass in the Mortal Kombat games, the timeline that it's in disappears. So it's like, you know, you're killing everybody.
Yeah.
But that is Snowblind. So, I'm going to start off with my thoughts, because fuck you, that's why. I like the fact that this movie's a little different. Rewatching it four times, I find the training of Kenshi to be more and more boring and, like, completely filler I didn't need. My favorite parts of the movie, no surprise, are the Hanzo Asashi parts. Scorpion, leader of the Netherrealm now, which is pretty cool. Because he has kind of like this, like, he's the anti-hero. Scorpion has that anti-hero look, which is awesome. Trying to think here what else Scorpion does. Yeah, it's just Scorpion's the best part. I like the designs of Cabal, really, in this movie. I think he looks cool. Sub-Zero looks a little too old and too big. Like, he doesn't look fat. But it just seems like the way he's drawn is like he looks like Nappa, where Kenshi looks like Vegeta. It doesn't make sense, like the size.
Yeah, he looks like he's been hitting the gym a lot.
Yeah, I know. And I love there's one line he goes, "You have to find," as they're training, he's like, and it's like, "This old man smells like a bag of vinegar." I'm like, oh, God. I could feel that line because he probably does. Sub-Zero probably doesn't take any baths in this movie. Yeah, I mean, Kuai Liang.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And Kuai Liang, like I said, I've always said that Kuai Liang's not an interesting character for me. Like, no matter what, he's just kind of like, he is the B-team hero. Like, if you're watching 1998 WWF Raw, and you see Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock feuding with each other, but then you have the B-team, which is like Undertaker and Kane. He's like the Undertaker. He's the number two babyface on the Mortal Kombat team, and it's just not as interesting as the number one babyface.
I thought you were gonna say. Well, I've always thought that Kuai Liang's balls stank.
you want me to say that right now? I've always thought Kuai Liang's balls stank. You
know? I don't know why.
Especially when my nose touches them. I don't think you guys heard me. I said, especially when my nose touches them.
Yeah. His throat fucking.
So I will go ahead and say I do recommend this movie. It's interesting. If you don't feel like playing the games, if you just watch these three movies to see how Mortal Kombat does have a story, and more so than any other fighting game, Mortal Kombat has a story that's really good. I would recommend watching it. I would say Scorpion's Revenge is still my favorite, obviously, because I'd have to rank them 1, 2, 3, just like they come out, because of the amount of Scorpion I get in them from the story perspective. Like, I love Scorpion's Revenge. Battle of the Realms is a fun, hot mess. The more I watch it, the more I like it, because of seeing, like, the elements of Mortal Kombat 2, 4, and, like, 6 and 7 mashed together is really cool. And this one right here, I like it quite a bit, but I find it less enjoyable than the first two. But I still like it, so I do definitely recommend it. I guess I'm gonna go with Cody for his review, because I know he's got a mouthful of pot roast.
He came out with a mixed bag,
and I know Owen's gonna come out more positive.
I'm done eating. I think that this is better than Battle of the Realms, but not as good as Scorpion's Revenge. The animation, like I said earlier, the animation style, there's something, you can just tell watching it, like there's just something off about it. It's not as good, which, like you talked about, it could be because, you know, it was made during COVID times and all that. But I do appreciate that it is primarily an original story. That's something that I kind of like harped on against Battle of the Realms when we covered it, because it's just like kind of sick and tired of seeing the story from Mortal Kombat 1 through 3 over and over and over again. And I do applaud them for that. I do like the characters they decided to use. I think that it's definitely worth watching. I recommend it, and I would put it below Scorpion's Revenge but above Battle of the Realms.
All right, Owen, sir.
All right, so I did like this one, kind of for the same reasons as Cody was saying, that, you know, he appreciated this over Battle of the Realms. I'm hoping for more, I guess, kind of original Mortal Kombat kind of side story content if they do make any more of these. I definitely think
Cage Match is 100% original.
Okay. Cage Match.
Like, this takes place while he's a fucking movie star still in the 80s, and Shinnok, Quan Chi, and Quan Chi's bitches show up in this fucking
Quan
thing.
Quan Chi's bitches. In. Like, what's her face and stuff? What the fuck is her name?
Like, Serena and Kai. I don't know if Serena's in it. I know Kai and Chitaka are in it, and Ashra's in it.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. Well,
How would you rate these movies, like the 1, 2, 3?
If I were to rate these, number one would probably be Scorpion's Revenge, because I think that one kind of has the strongest story. Even though that is kind of something we've seen before, like with Scorpion's backstory a little bit, I think it was done really well in that. My only kind of negatives for that is that it spends half of its runtime focusing on like the first Mortal Kombat. But it's whatever, you know.
Yeah, Scorpion's Revenge needed to be completely its own Scorpion.
Yeah.
Like, they did this half in, half out, like, let's tell Mortal Kombat 1, but Scorpion's backstory. Just tell us all Scorpion shit, you know?
That would be cool. And then I would rate this one, Snowblind, as second. This one was pretty interesting. I don't have too many negatives about it, except, yeah, the animation and stuff like that. And, it wasn't as I feel like the one thing I could say negative, kind of going away from it, is I don't. The weird alternate reality shit at the end was kind of lame, but that was about it. And then last would be Battle of the Realms, which was fucking. I'm just gonna say it, okay? I thought it was kind of boring. So it's the same shit. All right, so there you go.
I got you.
That's,
well, even if it was boring, you still recommended all three of them, though. So.
Yeah, it was all right.
I think they did overall the best job they could, putting all the story in these movies. You know, like, this is the most Mortal Kombat content I could get. Like, this is amazing. Like, I wish they would make an animated show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You know, something that would be cheap like this. You can tell the stories, kind of like Mortal Kombat Legacy did, but animated form and a little bit more in detail. You could spend like 20 minutes on an episode instead of 10. But, I'm glad you guys liked it and you enjoyed it. Like I said, I've heard Cage Match, a lot of people like it. You know, like I said, we'll find out in about 2 months when we record that episode. So, Cody, Owen, do you do recommend Snowblind?
Yes, I do.
Sweet. All right. Well, hopefully by the time I'm recording the next episode, I'm on another job. And hopefully I'll be able to record. It depends if I have to work on a Saturday or not. But, the next episode is Owen's? Or is it Cody's?
Mine.
Owen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Next movie we're going to do is Jacob's Ladder, motherfuckers. Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh, is it actually scary?
So, it's
not really.
Not really. it's Silent Hill. The Silent Hill series drew a lot of inspiration from it. So it's very much a psychological horror thriller type thing.
It makes you go fucking crazy. I'm going fucking insane.
I'm going crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm fucking crazy, man. I'm fucking crazy.
So,
well, that's good to hear. Cody, what was going to be your movie after that?
So, I think I'm going to forego the Christmas movie this year. I'd rather do another Jim Carrey film. And it's one of my favorite Jim Carrey films.
And that's fucking Mr. Popper Popper or whatever.
Silence, no, it's not Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Dude, that movie is fucking terrible.
It's a Yes Man. We're gonna do Yes Man.
Okay, thank God.
Mr. Pussy's Poppers.
I'll be interested to rewatch this movie. The only thing I remember is him hiding in the dude's car at the end. And he goes, "Frank, don't freak out." And Frank's like, "What the fuck?" And he just like punches the gas into traffic and they get into a car accident.
I love the scene. One of my favorite scenes is when he's like, the guy's like saying he's going to jump off the building or whatever. And he like goes up there and he starts playing Jumper by Third Eye Blind.
I do remember that. That's actually Jim Carrey playing the guitar in it too.
Yeah, and him singing and everything. Yeah, because I think he actually does like, or at least at one point he did music like on the side.
Oh, dude, he did do a great Vanilla Ice impression on Live in Color, in Living Color. I mean,
yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
I'll have to look it up.
Oh, dude, just look up Jim Carrey Vanilla Ice and hit this. He's over here. I'm not stupid. I just stupid. And then after Yes Man will be Cage Match, Mortal Kombat Legends. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I forgot what the hell I was doing.
Cage.
We'll be watching Cage Match. And then after that, like within the next couple months, we're doing fucking Annihilation and finishing all the Mortal Kombat shit.
Johnny Kage.
Yeah, so whenever I know at one point you talked about doing the Friday the 13th movies. Whenever you eventually
get next year.
Yeah, whenever you eventually get to that, I think my movies during those cycles are gonna be Nightmare on Elm Street. So that eventually once we'll obviously finish the Nightmare on Elm Street movies first, but it's just because there's less of them. But once you're done with the Friday 13th movies, we can do Freddy versus Jason, and it's like, okay, we've watched everything, involved with that. So
yeah, that sounds pretty badass. We get to that, like that can be, man. I wish that could be like a 2-part episode that we could cover, but that's probably too much content for that shit. That movie doesn't deserve that much content covered. Everyone.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd have a whole episode about the pothead that turns into a slug, or he sees Freddy Krueger as a slug.
The Jay from Silent Bob ripoff guy. So.
Yeah.
anyway, thank you all for listening to this episode of Filmoscopy. It's probably a shorter episode, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
This movie, like I say, when it comes to the plot, there wasn't a lot in this movie to cover. It's like, okay, it's Mad Max. It's Mortal Kombat. You only have like 4 main characters: Kano, Kenshi, Shang Tsung, and Sub-Zero. And then you have a bunch of cameos come in. So it's kind of a stripped down story that I think a lot of people would enjoy. So just give it a watch. And as always, finish him
off.